Good morning. Thank you so much, Sue and team, for just a beautiful setup, a beautiful message. It's a delight to be here. Giles and I are so grateful. You know, he's invisible. He's not really. He's sitting out. He's sitting out doing his job at the book sale table. So I'm glad to see those of you who are here in this physical space and those of you who are online. So grateful you're with us today. For we are one. Isn't it great how we are proving unity? We are proving there's only one presence. Every time I'm on Zoom, I'm just marvel at how it can be. So, you know, you guys are all dressed for the season, but swallowing the unity message so capably in my life experience, you know, focus on what you want. You know, I have open-toed shoes. That's all we came with, and we've been a little chilly. We went to Goodwill yesterday, pick up some sweatshirts. Like, what happened here? I thought it was springtime in Texas. Oh, my. Well, I want to orient us in a direction we don't often like to go in unity, just as I just demonstrated, right? We like to skip the hard things. Look, that's just my experience of listening and teaching myself. We like to jump to the affirmations because we feel better when we say affirmations, right? But I want to speak to the human condition for a few moments because there's something to say about that, isn't there? So think about some of these scenarios and just take in whether there's anything about that that might relate to you, that might be similar in your experience, or you know somebody, you know? So this prayer concern. My teenage child is engaging in risky behaviors. I'm worried that he won't make it to adulthood. I want him to just like snap out of it now and get his act together. Or this one, I've been hospitalized with troubling symptoms. The doctors have so far been unable to determine what's going on, no diagnosis, no prognosis. I'm scared I could become incapacitated or I could die. I want to get well. Or, my sister and I have not spoken for over 2 years. My heart aches and I fear that I'll lose her forever. I want to forgive and reconnect. My brother is dying. I have regrets and I feel so sad. I want him to recover and to live. I got fired from my job. I just bought a house. I have no income, just a little savings. I'm afraid of losing everything that I've worked for. I want a new job now. Well, when we humans are faced with troubles, boy, it's so quiet in here, I know, right? Maybe that's why we don't talk about the hard thing. You know, but when we're faced with human troubles and when unwanted things are happening in our experience, we're standing on a ledge, are we not? Like, you know, metaphorically, hopefully, right? Feeling terrified, feeling powerless. That's the human condition. And we have been conditioned to call out for help from a rescuing deity, you know, that's going to swoop in and save the day. Am I right? An infinite power, very often thought of as like a superhuman kind of character that knows us personally, knows our troubles, and is going to do something to fix it. I love the prayers. They go, hey, can you get the devil out of my neighbor? I mean, these are real prayer requests that came to Silent Unity in my term there. I'm just saying. That might not be the way you put it, but darn, right? Wouldn't it be nice if they changed, right? Oh, boy. Well, every one of these human conditions that I spoke of, I have experienced. These are part of the human array of circumstances, are they not? And if you haven't personally encountered one of those, chances are you know somebody who has, right? The specifics might be different from you, but the angst, the worry, the fear, the upset, the the inquiry, all those things are part of how we humans try to make sense of troubling things in our life. But we know, do we not? I mean, I hope we know. I cannot predict whether my teenager will get back on track or end up in the criminal justice system or worse, right? I can't predict. I can't know whether my health challenges will resolve or whether they're going to require some adjustments on my part, right? I can't force a connection with my sister. I can't know her thoughts and feelings. And I can't anticipate whether my brother will recover or his body will die. Of course, ultimately, we're all going to. Well, we cannot know from where we stand what the outcome will be, right? And that's really what we strive for. We want that outcome, don't we? But this is why we feel powerless, because this is why we pray, because we don't know, and we think somebody must know and help, right? Well, conventional prayer tells us, give our cares over to God. And we've been conditioned, of course, to regard God as the all-powerful deity that could be persuaded to bring about our preferred outcome. Conventional prayer presumes human powerlessness. Do you get that? It presumes that. And in fact, it really, in many cases, teaches that that's the optimum countenance, right? To be powerless so that God can be powerful. Humans, weak, God, powerful. You know, is this familiar to you at all? Not in a unity community, I know, but certainly in the world, right? In the world, and for many of us, how we were raised. So, you know, unity prayer is not conventional prayer. The prime principle that unity teaches, oneness, that prime principle, it means something. It means something to us to say there's only one power. There's only one power, spiritual power. And that power is where? It's within us as well as all around us. If there's only one, where am I in relationship to oneness? Because I can't be outside of it. Does that make sense? I can't be outside of oneness. And so why do I keep calling out for a savior, for something outside to change my conditions? This, to me, is where unity teachings get real. And not necessarily easy to find that power within, right? But oneness means, and here's where I celebrate, oneness means I am fully human. I have access to all the full human array of thoughts and feelings and circumstances. Abundance means all of it, the happy and the sad, the good and the bad. If nobody told us that, you know, that's a big thing to get clear about. Abundance is all of it. You say, I want a full life. Well, you got it if you have happy times and sad times. You got a full life of all of it, right? So I'm fully human, able to encounter all the human conditions that come my way, able to meet them where they are, able to digest them, to do something about them. I am fully human. And I am fully divine. An easier way for me to say that is I'm fully physical and I'm fully spiritual. That's the whole of me. That's the whole of us. We are all of that, spiritual and physical too. Now, that's not always been comfortable or not always been taught very directly in unity. Do you know what I mean? So often the humanity has been left out. So often that's why we don't like to talk about the hard things, because that's the human side of things. And somewhere we were given the message through our interpretation of teachings along the way that that, you know, we should only focus on our divinity and not the humanity. Right? That there's something lesser about the human. And I'm going to say there can't be nothing lesser in oneness. I honor my humanity. I honor my human experience as I honor my divinity. Does this make sense to you? Is it track with where you're at in your own evolution of thought? So prayer, let's get to that. So prayer on that ledge, right? Prayer is accessing that aspect of my nature that is less obvious. The human's pretty darn obvious, is it not? I feel so solid. I feel so, you know, distinctive. I feel so human, right? The spiritual is in the realm of the invisible aspect of us, and it requires that silence, that pause, for us to recognize that aspect of being. But there it is, and that's why we meditate. That's why we pray, is it not? That process of prayer is not a calling out. It's a diving in, rightfully looked at. It's a diving in. Does that make sense? It's a diving in. Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, she said, prayers aren't sent out at all. She says, sometimes that's our trouble. Where would we send our prayers? We should direct them to our minds and our hearts and our affairs. In other words, our spiritual self tells the truth to our human beingness. And so in prayer, our human encounters our divine, right? My physical experience encounters my spiritual nature, where all the power is, right? And when I feel powerless, then in that circumstance, I can pray for the purpose of uncovering that inner power. Again, it's quiet. It's quiet. So when I get quiet, when I get into that state, what I like to think of as the prayer field, that spaciousness of possibility, when we get into there, we now have access, instant access, to the ineffable aspects of our nature, that part of us that is spiritual, that part of us that has access to all power that is. And you can see 12 of the powers that we have demonstrated in these beautiful panels around the room, right? We have access to all of that when we turn within. So when I pray about my teenager, for example, and boy, did I. Close friends, you know. Right? So I can recognize God is infinite wisdom, you know, and that wisdom is fully accessible at every moment. To me, I have to claim it for me because I'm running around scared, and when I'm scared, I don't know about you, but I tend to make scary decisions when I'm scared. How about you? I mean, whoa! But when I claim divine wisdom, I claim that, then I'm seeking to know how can I respond in such a way that can be most helpful, that I can deal with my own emotions and calm myself to the degree that I can actually be of some value to my son, that I can actually hold him in the light of the wisdom that I know is also accessible in him. Right? And I do that. My husband, Giles, helped me with this in those teenage years, man, to remind me that the more I thought about my son in terms of his limitations or his behaviors or whatever, the more I was kind of emphasizing that and just holding to that. Whereas my job, hard as it was to see the truth about him, even though right now it's not really what he's showing me, right? But to know it for him until he awakens to that wisdom. And, you know, when I see that young man today, you know, a beautiful professional and father and husband and a beautiful human being, you know, I really see he always had it in him, you know, he did. And I think I like to think that I helped with my having to work so hard in consciousness to see the truth about him. I like to think that I helped, right? When I pray about my own health concerns, I can recognize that God is infinite life, the flow and the vitality of life, right? And that that wholeness can never be diminished or eradicated. It can't be threatened by my human experience. I mean, this is an important truth to know, right? Because then I have the chance of claiming infinite life and wholeness. I can think of myself as whole right in the middle of troubling physical conditions. Again, it's not the easiest thing to do, but it's so successful when I can focus on what can I do to live well today, because, you know, there's only certain things going on in my body, my mind, my consciousness, my life, I have capacity, in other words, to do some good today. So let me claim that infinite life and wholeness, and let me take the actions that are possible to me in the fullness of life. You know, in the past 7 years since I left Unity of San Antonio, gosh, my brother died, my mother died, and very recently, within just last several weeks ago, my father died. So, boy, when I think about each of them approaching their deaths, you know, I prayed recognizing the infinite love that was that in which we were ever connected. And if you've read any of my books, you know I had some overcomings, my father and I, in our lifetime, right? He had disowned me when Giles and I married, and it took 9 years of spiritual work, divine love work, hardest work of my life, to heal together. And so we had so many more years of wonderful connection and precious, precious connection. But as he was dying, you know, I could claim that harmonizing power of love that I experienced with him, you know, when he was in his community, his senior community, you know, and we were in Florida and we would talk, even FaceTime sometimes, you know, his presence was not just physical to me. You know, my brother's presence, my mother's, they weren't just physical to me. Part and parcel of the love that I am, that's what they have been to me. And that does not just disappear upon physical death. True story, my dad was quite a character. And when he was dying, he gave instructions to the funeral director, "Whatever you do, make sure there's a smile on my face." I just want to tell you something. It was a little creepy. It really was. But he would be cheering. He would be really happy. I'm going to tell you one more thing just about my dad. He was fond of giving a joke of the day to the whole dining room. Every morning he would roll around in his wheelchair from table to table with a joke of the day. So my sister arranged for a final joke of the day to be in his coffin. You want to know what it was? "Need an ark? I know a guy." The groans. That's my father's jokes. Yeah. Anyway, I had to digress because I had to give a nod to my daddy, you know, right here and now. But that unifying power of love, that harmonizing power of love, to know that at a time when I'm afraid of losing, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my loved one, to know that there is no loss in love, that there can never be an erasure, an absence, that love is presence itself. And for me to know that so surely, that I don't get in the way of their gently letting go, that I can be in harmony with my dad, with that body that was really struggling to function, right? The body wore out before his brain did. It really, really, truly did. So all of that to say, to know I can never lose the love. I can never lose it, even though it feels like loss. So when I think about Unity's affirmative prayer, I think about empowerment. Because what happens inside of me when I get right with truth, when I really understand what's happening spiritually in my circumstance, and I can be in harmony with or in cooperation with the principle that is available to me to display at that time. And this isn't about forcing a particular outcome at all. It's about being clear about what is mine to do and not do what is true, what is real, and what is not, right? So I think about prayer. I wish there was a better word because, you know, for us in Unity and for so many people today, you know, the religious explanations for the word prayer just really, really kind of keep us in a default way of thinking when we think about prayer. So I would rather like a spiritual treatment or a transformation of thought. I would like to find some other words for what's happening in the process of prayer. But, you know, this is it. It's introducing my humanity to my divinity. That's what's happening in prayer. My human is being reassured of a truth that my divinity knows. And that divinity is not a spot of God. You know, that old-time way of saying it, that, you know, the guru is within is what I learned in yoga, and then in Unity, the same thing. God is within. It made me think about the incredible shrinking God, you know, the little God. Because when people, and that's a real generalization, when many people speak about the power of God, it is really something separate, and that God is something separate inside that talks to me or whatever. But what if I can conceptualize when we say in Unity, wherever I am, God is, that we really mean that I am an embodiment of divinity, that my physical and spiritual self is one whole being, and that I can trust turning inward, being still, listening for the voice of highest wisdom. And then I shift, because what good is all that if I don't do something with it, right? So in prayer, this is something that Myrtle Fillmore did so beautifully, and I have to feel like I have, in my studies in recent years, evolved to see just how essential this aspect of prayer is. And that's the realization part of prayer. Like when I get it that I am divine, I'm fully human and I'm fully divine, all power that is right now, and I have access to it and able to wield it. Oh, when I get that, then I have to say to myself, well, what am I going to do with that then? How am I going to meet this situation differently because I know something now about myself and about my role? So I'm fond of saying to people who pray with others, you know, before you go visit that beloved in the hospital, make sure you pray. Make sure you are clear about what you're doing so that you're not contributing to the, oh, how awful is this, or to the, you know, what is the doctor saying now, and are you going to be okay? I'm not contributing to that. I go in knowing it's that life, that whole life that I'm going to be a champion of, and I can go in there, you know, trusting that I have words to contribute and a presence to contribute that has that person more able to see the fullness of their life right here and now. Wow, what a difference that makes. Because you know, don't you? We all know this nowadays, that science tells us that when I have that kind of mentality, I'm actually proliferating the feel-good chemicals in my whole system. And so I'm contributing that to my loved one who's in the hospital. I'm supporting them in all the health-providing, life-supporting, positive healing chemistry in our own bodies gets turned on to the idea of wholeness when I can be that kind of presence. Isn't that a good thing to know? Isn't that a beautiful truth to know? So here's how I think about it. You're going to like this because everywhere I go outside of Texas, I mention this because it's really alive for me. This is my almost my final point, I'll say. When Giles and I arrived in San Antonio, it took us a while to get familiar with the highway system, right? You've got the loops, the 410 loop and the 1604 loop. And some days I could drive all through the town looking at Jones-Maltzberger Boulevard, and there it is, but I'm on the other side of town on Jones-Maltzberger. I'm totally lost, right? But what I loved about the Texas highways, at least in San Antonio, I learned that if I wanted to get somewhere and I passed it, I don't have to do what I did in Pennsylvania, which is get off the highway, drive 15 miles out of my way before I found an exit and found wild my way back. Oh no, I just get in the inside lane and take the turnaround. You know what I'm talking about. I've called it now the Texas turnaround. I mean, it's my dance, right? It's my spiritual dance. It's what I think about when I think about prayer. Why do I pray? To do the Texas turnaround. I do. I pray so that when I'm not where I thought I wanted to be, all I have to do really is just turn around. This is what in classical biblical and religious teaching is called repentance. But what a crazy word, because what it really just means is turn around. Stop going that way. Go the other way, right? And the Texas turnaround is my graphic, you know, way of conceptualizing. That's what happens in prayer. I go from the fright of the human concern, right? The feeling of incapacity or helplessness, powerlessness, and I turn around. My human turns around to face my divinity, the where the power is, where the insights are, where the capacity is to be able to make a new decision. And then I decide, what am I going to do? How am I going to approach my father when he's dying? How am I going to think about my teenager instead of the unhelpful way I have been thinking? How am I going to shift in such a way that I become an answer to my prayer? That my consciousness now is clear and able to be supportive and helpful in an important way. Does this track for you, those of you who have been studying Unity Prayer, that this is where the power is? The more I have gotten away from, you know, just saying, God help, you know, and then scrambling down here in this human field, the more I know my part to play. And I have had some remarkable transformations in my life. I write about them a lot. So when somebody came in and I introduced him to Giles, she's like, oh, you're Giles. Like, and my poor family, they're like, please stop writing about us, Mom, you know. But really, this is prayer at its best. It's me finding that the power is within me to turn around my thinking. When I turn around my thinking, I turn around my behavior. That makes sense, right? And when I turn around my behavior, I actually help my conditions to shift. It's not magic at all. It's not begging. It's not happenstance. I become the answer to my prayers. I am human. I am divine. That's the whole of it. Whew. So let's meditate. Let's get into the spirit of that and enter into a prayer time ourselves. If you'd like to begin, I'm just for the physical connection to our divinity, you know, hold your arms out over your lap with your hands open, your palms turned upward, and just rest there. And sense the collection of energy right there in the palms of your hand, the vibration, the warmth, maybe heaviness. And know that just at the thought of it, you know, all power that is within you activates. This prana or chi or life force, this magnetized energy, it's invisible, yet perceptible, just like the power within me. I recognize now infinity, spaciousness, the field of all that is. It's accessible just like my next breath. effortless, inclusive, unrelated to my limited beliefs, and regardless of my circumstances. I recognize the infinite field of all capacity. And I integrate that knowledge now as I say to myself, I am a divine human. Or I am a spiritual human. Affirm that to yourself and send it as a code of authority now into your brain. I am a divine human. I am a spiritual human. Tell it to your brain, your nerves, your muscles and bones. Tell it to your heart. I know this is the truth about me because I can counteract confused thinking by affirming, I know a truth. I know I'm a divine human. And I suspend my focus on the human condition just long enough to know my spiritual nature. For when I'm focused spiritually, I'm never limited by my conditions. I can experience them, but they don't define me. Whatever I need to be, I can be, because I am. And so I claim my capacity. I am divine wholeness. I am beauty, power, strength, grace. What do I need? I am that. Serenity, enthusiasm, harmony, reconciliation, joy. I am that audacity, compassion, clarity, vision, courage. What do I need? I am that. I am. Sit in the silence of that awareness, taking it in. Knowing in some true way of my spiritual capacity now, I think about, you know, what's going on with me and what would I take to a prayer partner today? Let me claim a spiritual capacity that I can employ in this situation. And let me now realize, what can I do? What one way can I change my thinking about this situation? And what one action might I take to demonstrate the principle that I am claiming? What would I do with strength? How will I think with greater compassion? Let me attend to that and realize something of value for myself. It can make a difference in this situation. For I am a divine human, a spiritual human. Breathing now, deeply breathing, you know, getting the strength of this, getting the truth of this identity that is fully human, fully divine, getting it so clear inside that you feel naturally a growing of appreciation internally. I recognize the value of this shift in my awareness. I recognize that I can be the answer to my prayers as I stand in the fullness of my human divine beingness. I appreciate. I live in the state of appreciation. And my body is blessed by it. Again, all the feel-good chemicals are now jumping for joy, and my heart is open and my mind is transformed. And so it is. And so it is. Amen. Amen.